Welcome to the Women of Marvel podcast, where we assemble to talk all things Marvel and more. This is Judy Stevens, producer, bringing you episode 66 of the podcast. Today, in honor of the 5th annual Costoberfest, we have part 2 of the Marvel Method Designing a Character with cosplayers Jay Justice and Megan Yashantafon Cosplay, who appear as She-Hulk and Spider-Woman on the Marvel cosplay cover variants. This episode is brought to you by Squarespace. Start building your website today at squarespace.com. Enter offer code WOMANOFMARVEL at checkout to get 10% off. Squarespace. Build it beautiful. Now on to the interview. Welcome to the Women of Marvel podcast, where we assemble to talk all things Marvel and more. This is Judy Stevens, producer. I am live right now at Dragon Con. We are sitting on the 10th floor, literally sitting on the floor. And it is Friday morning. I asked these two lovely ladies to get up to do this amazing interview. So as many of you have heard out in the internets, we are doing these variant programs starting in October that will be called the Marvel Cosplay Covers. And we have 21 amazing cosplayers from all over the world who are gonna join me in Atlanta, New York, or ACBC, and we took photos of them and they're on cover. So today I have two of those. I have Jay Justice.
Hey guys.
And I have Megan.
Hi.
You can pronounce your cosplay name.
Okay. My cosplay name is Yashantafon Cosplay, and I know it's hard to pronounce, but
when you say it, it actually sounds much easier.
Yeah, it's how it's spelled, Yashantafon.
So and for those at home who obviously have no context of pictures, Jay Justice did She-Hulk. And Megan did Spider-Woman. So two really distinctly unique costumes. And the one thing, so we're going to sort of talk slightly different to each of you guys today, because Jay, you already had your costume. You'd already been done.
That's a lie.
Oh, you remade it? Did you remake it for me?
I remade the entire costume for you, because I was like, I'm not going to wear a 5-year-old costume that's been to hell and back on the cover of a Marvel comic book. It's a deceptively simple costume to make. Like, it's a unitard with, you know, two colors, and it's not hard. Yeah, the first one I ever made was before I was really good at sewing. So I used purple fabric paint and painter's tape to make the perfect straight line, so it looked good. That doesn't survive years of wear. So now that I know how to sew much better and I can use a machine, I can just go ahead and sew the costume with two different fabrics and make sure that they're both four-way stretch and that they're both going the right way and that everything looks good. Yep.
Well, so for those listening at home, there you go. If you guys have never done costumes or anything like that, you can see that it's progression. Not everyone starts at this epic level of costuming. Everyone starts at the beginning. They sort of fumble through understanding lines. And especially spandex is such a hard cost, such a hard fabric to sew.
Yeah.
And you need like a special thread. I mean, I don't use a special thread.
I moved from hand.
Oh, yeah.
No, go ahead.
I moved from hand sewing everything to finally getting enough money to get a sewing machine. And I used to hear people complaining about how spandex is so hard to sew. And I'm like, what are you talking about? I just put a needle through the thread and it just goes through the fabric. It's totally easy. And then when you use a machine, it's like, oh God, tension is off. I'm getting thread vomit everywhere. This is not even going to work. And you have to do a zigzag stitch or it won't stay. And it's like,
oh. Yeah. And Megan, you made Spider-Woman specifically for this project.
Right.
And you made the new Spider-Woman, which is very much less sort of superhero, like this context of like spandex. But you made, like, Spider-Woman's costume is really like modern, like it's this jacket and pants.
Very practical. I really like Chris Anka's new design, and I don't know, it's just she moved away from that tight spandex look, and now she has this really cool motorcycle jacket. But because it was still very form-fitting, I wanted to still use like not spandex necessarily, but I used like neoprene, like really thick knits and stuff, so that it was still like a fit shape. But it was kind of a challenge doing this new outfit, because it's this asymmetrical jacket, and I looked everywhere, and there's no patterns out there. So it was a lot of trial and error.
Well, jackets are pretty hard.
They are.
Like, when you first start getting into costuming, a lot of people rely on patterns. And so patterns are, there are people screaming in the distance.
Yes.
If you can hear that at home. So a lot of people that just go to, like, you know, like a Joann's and buy a pattern, and you cut it out and you sort of fit it. And then as you get more and more advanced, you can then, in theory, like, make your own pattern. Because a lot of things with costuming and cosplay is, like, now there are becoming more and more patterns out there. Like, Gaia has some of her own patterns, like for the spandex bodysuit.
Yes.
But before that, you really had to, like, the first time I made a spandex bodysuit, I found a pattern that was from 1979
for a like woman's bell bottom like one piece, and I took that and I modified it to fit it, and now like thankfully there are like bodysuit patterns and they're much easier to use, but it's really just trial and error. Not everyone, like a lot of times you'll see like progress photos of like someone standing in a mirror and you're like, it looks great.
No, absolutely. Like, especially with these spandex costumes, like, sometimes you just have to go buy some really cheap spandex. Like, sometimes you get crazy patterns or whatever and just make mock-ups. And you try it on. You're like, I got to take this in, or you have to, you know, move this panel over, and you just got to try and try and try. And it's a process, but, you know, that's how you get that perfect look at the end, so...
And obviously, like, the community is, everyone's out and about, like, on the internet. You can always look to any one of us to, like, ask questions for, like, costuming and, like, making things or understanding about, like, I mean, there's so many tutorials out there. It's kind of great. And one of the tools you use, Megan, actually, was the Warbla.
Yes, I used Warbla on the glasses. And Warbla is amazing. It's so easy to use. And, oh, yeah.
Jay is wearing a non-Marvel costume right now.
Yeah,
and
she has some bracers here that are
but those are
Warbla.
Great. Warbla, for those who don't actually know, is sort of like a heat, is a...
Thermoplastic?
Thermoplastic. And so what you can use is you can use like a hair dryer or a heat gun or anything that produces heat. And what it does, it goes from like a super stiff board to this soft, malleable... almost like goo.
It's basically friendly plastic mixed with like a fibrous sawdust material, so that way it has that nice like smooth texture, but then you can heat it and mold, and it's really convenient. But I find that it's more useful for like details on top of something more sturdy, like putting it on EVA foam will make you a really nice costume as opposed to just using it by itself and then wondering why your costume is so fragile. So lesson learned, kids, don't use Warbler with nothing underneath it.
I usually just use foamy for mine.
Yeah,
just like foamies you can get at like a Michael's. It's like the craft foam that you like your teachers use when you were in grade school to like cut like foam shapes out. But that stuff's great because you can also heat that and use that into shape. So like it, and then the Warbler is like, because it's sticky and tacky, it sticks to things. So it's going to stick to, like, that EVA foam or those foamies.
Right. It's great to make, like, your pattern out of the EVA foam and then, like, coat it in the Warbla. And the great thing about Warbla is if you mess up, you can reheat it as many times as you need. So you can just keep going over and over until you have the right shape. And then, yeah. So you don't have to worry about it. It's not, like, a one-time thing.
Yeah. No, it's super great. Obviously, it's a little bit more of an advanced material, but for those at home, I mean, obviously, there's tons of tutorials on it, of people doing it different shapes and different things. So what I really want to do is talk about you guys, sort of like your step process as you make a costume, because that's, I think, the hardest thing is when you, like, you're going to, like, I'm going to make this costume. I've decided, so, you know, like, a group is happening at a con. I really want to make this costume. Sort of what are your steps to, like, why don't you walk through She-Hulk? Why don't you be like...
Oh, She-Hulk in particular? Okay.
Yeah.
Well, I chose the most common version of She-Hulk and the most comfortable one with the white sneakers and then the, you know, one-piece leotard. The wig I got from Epic Cosplay, they're a great wig site. They're really nice. If you have a problem with your wig, they've given me so many free wigs just because they felt bad about screwing up an order. God bless Epic Cosplay. Anyway, you go over your budget, you figure out, okay, I can get this spandex for $8 a yard from Spandex House or whatever, and you plan that out. And then you look at many, many pictures to make sure you're getting everything right, you know, just make sure all your parts are on the right side or whatever, and try to make sure all your fabric matches. Because if you're like me, you have a bin full of fabric and 8 different purples, and you don't want to make the gloves out of one color and then the costume out of another one because you weren't paying attention. The most hard part, I think, is making sure that the costume that you're designing fits your body. Like, not everybody has a dress form. And you look at the pattern size, and it says it's like a size 8. That's your size, right? No, pattern sizing is different than clothing sizing, especially in the U.S. They have nothing in common. You have to actually go over your measurements really carefully. And if you have knockup fabric, like a cheaper, ugly version of whatever fabric you're using, like, my friend has at least 10 yards of pink spandex that she'll never use for anything. So that's what all of her, like, pretend Captain Marvel costume is made out of, is the pink one. Try that on. It takes longer. You might, you know, be down to the wire making your legit costume, but at least that way you know, yes, I'm sewing 2 days before Dragon Con, but by God, this will fit me.
Well, so I think that there's, like, a couple key points of what you said. So first and foremost is picking a costume, because there's so many variants to a character. Obviously, She-Hulk has had all these different costumes over the time frame. Same thing with Spider-Woman. So you want to pick one, and you can also, like... It's your costume. You were doing whatever. You can ebb and flow whatever you want. You can be like, I can't wear heels, so I'm going to wear flats. You know, sort of pick and choose what you think. Then you said budget. And I think that's really important. And I don't think I've ever actually talked about that, like, anywhere. When you first start a costume, think about how much money you want to put down on it, because you think, like, you don't actually realize how much money you'll put into a costume until you're like 4 weeks, 5 weeks into this costume, and you have to buy all these things. Because you don't just need to have to buy fabric. You have to buy, you know, you have to buy, like, if you want to line it, you got to buy lining fabric. You have to have a zipper or snaps or buttons or
Velcro, thread, hook and eye closures for your neck so you can get in and out of the dang costume.
Yeah, notions. Yeah. The word notions is very important. If you've ever watched Project Runway, there are points where they're like, make sure you buy the notions. They don't always show it, but, like, zippers are really important, or, like, and also, like, think about how you're going to function in the costume.
Yep.
Think about how you're going to get in and out of the costume. Think about you need to make sure you eat. You need to make sure you drink.
That's the worst part about doing body paint costumes that are water-based. Drinking.
Well, so let's talk about that, like, body paint.
Okay, so for She-Hulk, I have to do full body paint. Like, the only costume that ever had, like, more body paint than that would be if I was doing, like, Gamora's comic book version, because you have more skin, but She-Hulk is pretty bad. It's, like, both arms and legs and your face, and everything has to match. And then she has that lovely white turtleneck that you can't get green on. It's a disaster. So there's always a tiny bit of unpainted skin, so I don't ruin my costume. I mean, not ruin, but you can't wash it while you're wearing it, so it is what
and
it is.
And for those at home, you use cream base for your face, right?
Nope, I use...
I use water-based
on my face. I just make sure I don't cry that day or it's all over. I like being able to just wash off my costume and not be stuck crying getting PAX paint, which is basically body paint mixed with glue off of your skin. I don't use that. I like the water-based one. It's really more convenient, and I'm just really careful to not have wet eyes that day. It takes me like 4 to 5 hours with a small sponge just doing as careful as I can, because I like having a nice texture. It looks like skin. I don't want to have something that looks fake. It's worth it, though. I know it's a little risky using a water-based one, but I like the way it came out. So
no, you looked great. I mean, the fact that I think we met at like 10:30.
Yes.
And you were all painted and ready to go.
And I had nobody helping me.
That's amazing. I would say that painting is, you know, for those who are first trying to paint, there are tons of different types of paint out there. And we're using these, like, words throwing around, like water-based, cream-based. Obviously, there's also alcohol-based, as if you're going to do airbrush techniques. Yeah. That requires a second person to airbrush you, and that
unless
stuff,
you're crazy,
that stuff will stay on. Like, if you want to paint that's going to last all day, the airbrush, the alcohol base is going to stay on all day, but it's going to require a remover. So you have to think about these things. You're going to, like, and think about time when you're going to put the costume on. Cream base is great for your face. Never put cream on the rest of your body.
What'll happen?
It's just bad for your pores. Oh, okay. It's really bad for your pores. It's your body. Your skin wants to breathe. It's like putting a lot of, like, lots of clothing on your skin. And, well, you know, because you can sweat through, but you can't really sweat through cream bases as well. So try to use water base. You know, go to your local, there's going to be like a special makeup store for like theater people. Go there and you're going to talk to people. But yeah, I mean, props to people who put makeup on. Sometimes you see these people walking around a drag con and they look epic. And you're like, that must have taken 6 hours.
Yep.
I'm like, props to you, man.
Oh, the most important part. Sealing your paint with barrier spray or final seal or powder or something to make sure that you don't get paint everywhere and ruin the furniture and get your friends kicked out of the con by jumping in a pool covered in body paint. Sadly, that is a true story. Please don't do that.
It sounds like an amazing story.
It's a terrible story. And they never had a con at that hotel again. The end.
A quick break before we get back to the interview. If you're a budding creator or cosplayer out there and want to share your work with more people, it may be time to start on a website, your very own Squarespace website. As a cosplayer artist or fashion designer, look to Squarespace to create a stunning website with their easy tools and support. Plus, the knowledge that your content is secure, as Squarespace provides the best security and stability around. Millions of folks already use Squarespace for their professional needs or just for fun. So join up today with plans starting at $8 a month. And you can get a free domain if you sign up for a year. Start your free trial site today with no credit card required at squarespace.com. When you decide to sign up for Squarespace, make sure to use the offer code WOMANOFMARVEL to get 10% off your first purchase. Squarespace, build it beautiful. Back to the interview.
But yeah, I mean, also you pointed out about the fact about your body paint and like your white costume. Think about what costume you're wearing. I think Mystique is like a really good point, because I've worn her and I've always seen people have this problem. Mystique wears a white costume and she has blue paint. And it just really is almost impossible not to get the paint on
There's a way. I support people who do what we call the finger socks, where you make a sleeve and a glove out of the fabric that's the closest match you can find to your face paint, and then glue fingernails onto each glove so it looks like hands. If I didn't want to be able to flex my muscles as She-Hulk, I would just do that because it looks really good. Occasionally, you'll have like a wrinkle or two that looks weird, but for a costume like Mystique where you're wearing a dress, you could just sew that to the inside of the dress sleeve hole, and then you're good. And then just put fingernails on it, and it'll look awesome.
Oh, my God. That's super brilliant because you don't think about it. Your hand is blue.
Yeah.
And you're going to touch things.
You're going to touch everything.
You're going to touch things. And you don't realize how many times you touch things until you're like wearing body paint.
Exactly.
So, yeah, definitely. So adding to this, like, we're budget, about that.
Yeah, it gets more and more expensive the more things you add.
Also, and like, think about time for how long you're going to, like, let's say you have to meet a group. So, for those at home, like, usually you'll see like, these big photos of these big groups. So, usually the way most people think they're going to make a costume is someone goes, oh man, I'm doing this group. We're going to, like, okay, so what's happening this morning is AVX. So Avengers versus X-Men, there's a huge group happening. I'm about to go downstairs and take photos of it. So someone goes, we're going to do this idea. And so then they get everyone to get a costume together. And so now you've got a deadline. Now you got to know when you got to make this. So think about how long it's going to take for you to make this costume. Think about that. So you're not, like almost everyone here, sewing the minute before you leave for the flight. And think about how much time it's going to take for you to put this costume on. And test run.
Oh, yes. Test runs are important, especially when you have the body paint. Like, you want to make sure that you know how to apply it. Because if you're trying to do that in your hotel room, like, right before your shoot or whatever, and then it gets all splotchy and you don't know how to fix it, and it's just a disaster. So makeup tests are great. Trying stuff on and making sure it fits before the con is great.
Walk around your room, you know, put it on, walk around, see how it fits. Because sometimes you're going to make something and you're going to be like, oh, it looks great as I stand here. And then you walk and you're like, oh, my boot is slipping.
Right, right. You know, the thigh highs are falling down. Or
yeah.
This jacket's kind of riding up. Or
yeah. So, like, and think about those things. And always, you know, it's everyone is going to have those little hiccups, those little things that are... When you first put a costume on, and you're gonna be like, oh, I'm gonna go back and fix those things. Just be like aware that those are gonna happen, and that everyone has that problem.
Absolutely.
So don't be embarrassed that like your costume is imperfect. I think we're all perfectionists at heart, so it's like sometimes we're like gonna go downstairs and be like, I don't like this costume, but then someone's gonna come up to you and be like, I really like what you're wearing. It's really great, and they're gonna take your photo, and you're gonna be like, yay!
Oh yeah, I think we're really all our own worst critics when it comes to our costumes because we know every last detail. We're like, oh, this stitch is wrong, but no one can see it. So sometimes I have to tell myself, like, no one can see this when I'm like fretting over something like on the inside of my lining. I'm like, this is not laying right. And it's like, hold on. Take a deep breath. No one's going to see this. It's going to be okay.
And even if they can see, even if it's on the outside, you have to remember how much time and effort you put into this costume. And you can't let little details make you so upset that you can't enjoy it. Like, if there's a scratch on the outside of your armor, put some black paint on it. It's battle damage. Get out there and have a good time, kids.
Battle damage.
And I think that's important. Have fun. At the end of the day, we are just a group of people coming together, having fun in the character that we love or we're seeing characters that we love and being part of a group. Never forget about having fun, because if you're, you know, you're just working away and doing all these things, you're so frustrated. At the end of the day, you're not going to love cosplay, and you're not going to understand why we love it so much, because when we get together, like, we're a community. And I always say that. I think that's so important. I think that's such an element to what makes sort of this community so great, is because we all like are there for each other to help each other out.
Exactly. That's the most important part, the community of it, and making sure that you're surrounded by people who are positive, who like appreciate you as a person, and they're not judging you for your skill level or judging you by who you cosplay as or anything. It's just really important to be around positive people, and that's what makes cosplay so fun.
Absolutely.
And I would totally say props to all the 20 people, 21 people, I keep on forgetting, you know, the added one, of the cosplay people that came out and photographed. I mean, you made a costume for me. You made a costume. You know,
I bought new sneakers.
Yeah. I mean, it was like 90 degrees.
Oh, it was
so hot that day. I wrangled, with the thanks to Brian and Yaya, I wrangled 10 of us, 10 people to this location all throughout the day, and each one of you guys came on time, you showed up, you're ready to go, you photographed in this incredibly, like, super, you can't tell how hot it is when you look at the picture, but I assure you it was very hot.
Yeah. Very cool.
Thank you very much. I was not very cool. It was, I think I came around 3:30 or something in the afternoon. in the 90s. We're in, you know, Georgia, and I was wearing, like, mostly neoprene, really thick spandexes, and I don't know, neoprene is, like, what they make scuba suits out of, so they don't, it doesn't breathe that well, and I was very hot, but, you know, it was fun, it was a great opportunity, and I'm really glad I did it, so it was worth it.
Yeah, I mean, it was definitely, like, this project was, like something that I've always wanted to do, and so exciting. I'm so happy that Marvel did it, and I'm so happy that I found a great group of people to help me do this, because there's no way I could have figured this all out if I hadn't had people being like, okay, I'll drive 4 hours to you. Like, aww. The people, like, drove. People drove some distances. Some people flew to places to do this. So it's definitely really great, because I can't travel very far. I'm in New York, and there actually aren't that many costumers in New York. So, shockingly enough.
Really?
Yeah. Almost all of you down in Atlanta.
Hey, it's where everyone is. It's a great place to be.
As a cosplayer from New York City, there actually are a lot of us. Not a lot of them make Marvel costumes,
yes.
But there's a huge, like, anime and fighting game costume community up there. I mean, there are a couple comic book characters, you know, that are from Marvel, but most of them come to Dragon Con anyway, so
yeah.
You'll probably see them here.
And so, for those at home who don't actually know what Dragon Con is, so Dragon Con is a 4-day convention in Atlanta. It's a connected 3 hotels that we use, or 4 hotels that are all sort of connected, and you walk around. And it's basically the largest costuming. There's 5 now.
There's 5 now.
This con is so big. It's like 60,000 people.
Everyone always forgets the Westin.
Yeah, but if you really interested into getting into costuming or just fascinated with this world, this is the place to come, because everyone brings their A game. People bring the biggest, baddest costumes. Like last night, I saw a War Machine walking around on the con floor with like a lighted gun, and it was so cool. Like, and people bring the costumes you never even thought you would see. Like random variant character from like 1982 on a cover, or like a my friends and I did X-Men Evolution a few years ago, and people would come up to us and be like, "You're X-Men Evolution!" Like, they had to specify that we were from the TV show. So I think that that's one of those things. So, if you know, obviously, this is going to be posted after Dragon Con is over. Go to Marvel.com. There's tons of photos of all the costuming and everything. The big Marvel event is going to be Sunday. It's going to be, we had 500 people last year. So we'll see how many people we get this year. So will you be there, Jay?
Absolutely. I'll be in my new America costume from Young Avengers.
Yay. Yay, Young Avengers.
What about you, Megan?
Absolutely. I'm going to bring Spider-Woman.
Yay.
The same one I wore on the cover. I'm really excited to wear it at Dragon Con, because I haven't worn it at a con yet. But I know.
So. Yeah, because you made this costume specifically for me.
I did. I made it just for you, Judy.
It's all for me, guys. You're listening there at home. Well, we've been talking for a good 20 minutes. I think those at home sort of got a base understanding of like how a costume gets made. Where can listeners find you on the internet?
I have a Facebook page and just a cosplay page. It's yashuntafun.com and yashuntafun cosplay. Yashuntafun, yashuntafun. That's how you say it.
Now I can't mess it up because you've said it so many times.
Oh, no.
Yashuntafun is fun to say. I'm just listening.
It is.
Okay, all over the internets, on Instagram, Twitter, Tumblr, Facebook, and YouTube. I'm working on it. I am That J Justice. No spaces, no dashes, just That J Justice. That's me.
Great. Well, thank you, ladies, for being part of this project and getting up at 10 in the morning to come meet me.
5 in the morning for body painting. But it was absolutely worth it. I was so happy to do it.
So, you know, go and pre-order your variant cover. I actually can't off the top of my head remember when your
pre-order
books come
A-Force out. Pre-order A-Force number 1.
Yes, but they start coming out in October. The week after New York Comic Con, which is October 14th, I believe. And then they're going out all the way until December, when you'll see me on Captain Marvel number 1.
Yay!
So I'm really excited. And we still have one more variant that we're going to announce. And I have one more to shoot. So we still got more projects coming.
I'm dying to hear what the next one is.
Yay! So thanks for everyone for listening. If you guys have any questions for the Women of Marvel or these ladies, make sure you tweet at them. You can always tweet at Marvel, hashtag Women of Marvel, or email us at womenof@marvel.com. We will check you guys later. This is Marvel, your universe. Thanks to Jay and Megan for joining us, and thanks for listening. As always, if you have questions for us, please email us at womenof@marvel.com or tweet us at Marvel, hashtag Woman of Marvel. If you're attending New York Comic Con this weekend, make sure to mark on your calendars our Woman of Marvel panel on Sunday, October 11th at 1:30 p.m. in room 1A06. But don't fret if you can't attend, as next week's podcast will be the panel recording.
Plus, next week, myself and Adri will be attending several dates of Margaret Stoll's Black Widow Forever Red book tour. Look to our Twitters for more updates. Also, don't miss all the Costoberfest celebration at marvel.com/Costoberfest. We will check you guys later. This is Marvel, your universe.